Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton from Right Now Radio, a member of Expert Insights Publishing Family. And we're proud to announce that we've published 9 new number one bestsellers in just the last year and created 300 new best-selling authors. Our latest bestseller, Wounded Survive Thrive, is getting rave reviews around the globe, and that's why I wanted to bring this to you. Each of us can think of a woman in our life that, despite her trials and adversity, seemed to pick herself up, dust herself off, and pull herself together. This book is an invaluable resource and a collection of 101 women's stories from tears and torment to triumph. This will leave an indelible imprint on your heart forever. These resilient women have lived through nightmares and not only survived, but found ways to truly thrive. For the next few weeks, we will showcase raw interviews and powerful testimonies of their struggles, which only have made them stronger. Surviving some of the most difficult situations taught these brave women resilience, strength, and faith, and they want to share that with you now. Discover their triumph. Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I am so excited because with me today I have Siddiqui Ray. Siddiqui is a Los Angeles-based amazing photographer. She's also a wellness coach and inspirational speaker. And she and her camera have summoned the true essence of such diverse subjects as Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama 8 times, the Buddhist nuns of Tibet, the Kennedy family, the Navy SEALs, the staff of the Mayo Clinic, and Siddiqui's portraits have appeared in amazing magazines and other media, including Time magazine, USA Today, Allure magazine, South Africa's Cape Times, as well as her mother and her grandmother's coffee tables. She is absolutely an inspiration, and her photographs are inspirational as well. Sid, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. There's a lot of inspiration in that little bio there. I'm just
there,
I live up to that inspiration there.
Well, you are indeed inspiring, my dear. And I wanted to ask you, how did you come about this amazing work and great purpose that you have going?
Oh,
it's really unique, very different. Tell us about it and how it came about.
Wow. Do you want the long or the short? How much time do we have?
Oh, we have enough time for whatever you'd like to cover.
How did I come about this amazing work that I'm doing right now? Are you referring to the soul portrait in particular?
Yes. And okay. You know, how that kind of evolved.
Okay. Well, I started in high school as a videographer and a photographer. I went to an arts high school in New York. Think Fame, only maybe not that glamorous. Fame meets Glee minus a lot of the glamour. and I wasn't popular. So there you go. But anyway, so I started in high school and I always had a camera in my hand and I'm now almost 45. I live in LA and you're not supposed to disclose your age, but there you go. And I've been doing photography for 23 years. It's been my profession. It's been my passion. It's been my calling. It's been my creative expression. It's been my best friend. It's been my lover. It's been my enemy. And it's been my path. And somewhere along the lines, I've, you know, like any relationship, I've wanted to walk away from it. And actually, 3 years ago, I tried. I diverged down this path of health and wellness coaching. And at the time, I was the head editorial photographer for Mayo Clinic, which was a really big deal. Like, it was kind of the pinnacle of my career as a photographer. I had traveled all over the world for the Associated Press. I had photographed the Dalai Lama 9 times on 3 different continents. I had done underwater photography for the Navy SEALs. I had, you know, photographed Nelson Mandela Mandela and world spiritual leaders for the United Nations. And to that, all of that, I kind of say like, blah, 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 you know? And I had just gotten to this point where I had the staff job, I had benefits, I had like everything you could ever want as a photographer. I was in the top 1% of photographers and I was empty. I was like, this is not it. I worked my whole career and this is not it. And so I started asking the universe, like, what else do you want me to do? Like, where else can I go? What is my calling? What is my mission? What am I supposed to do? This is not fulfilling me. I feel empty. I feel like something is really anemic about this picture. Like, literally, the pictures were becoming anemic to me. And ironically enough, I was anemic also. But anyway, long story short, I started really tuning into my guidance and asking, what else is there for me to do? Now, at the time, Jeffrey Van Dyke, who has been my best friend for a couple of decades, was just getting into the transformational coaching world. And he and I went on this camping trip. And he was at the time working with Tim Kelly. And we started talking. And I said, wow, I could do that coaching thing. And I said, wouldn't it be fun, Jeffrey, if someday you and I worked together? And that was 4 years ago. And it just kind of planted a seed in my head of like, there's something more that I'm meant to do. Well, fast forward a year, and I'm now 5 years into my staff job at Mayo Clinic, and I'm traveling all over the world for Mayo Clinic, photographing amazing benefactors that have not millions, but billions of dollars. And I'm thinking to myself, like, these people aren't happy. It's not about the money. It's about something bigger. What is it? And I started asking myself, like, what in the world am I really supposed to do? And I started asking for signs. And I said to the universe, I'm like, I know it's not photography anymore. I know it's something bigger. I know it's something more. And I got a call out of the blue from someone I had gone through yoga teacher training with. And she said, come to Costa Rica. I'm doing this life coaching certification. I want you to photograph it. And P.S., I'll give you your life coaching certification as an exchange. So I went to Costa Rica, and I had this huge spiritual awakening. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to be a life coach now. And I prayed to the universe for a sign. And I got up in front of this group of people and I took this huge leap off of a cliff. And once you take a leap, Nikki, you can't ever go back. And I think if there's inspiration to be had in my story, it's that I'm a huge, enormous risk taker. Certainly my career in photography speaks to that, but this was a jumping off point. And it was this moment that I stood up in front of 100 people and I revealed something about myself that I had never, ever, ever said to anybody publicly. And I said, I'm a psychic. And I'm a medium. And from this point forward, I'm not going to hide anymore the information that I get. I'm going to start sharing it with the world. And I'm going to start sharing my insights. And I'm going to just declare that this is the truth of who I am. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it anymore. I had worked so hard to keep this piece of me under wraps because it was so woo-woo and so out there. And in that moment, I took that leap and I set myself free. And what happened from there was this complete unraveling of my life. And this is the part where I think that people are afraid to leave the comfort and the security of their lives. And I get it. I totally get why, like, I kept myself under wraps, because once you let the cat out of the bag, you can't get it back in. So what happened was everybody in that room lined up for a reading. And by the end of that trip, I hardly had time to do what I had originally gotten hired to do, because I was doing readings and people were having like these profound experiences. And I like had some really, really serious moments with God, the universe, whatever, saying, if this is what you need me to do, I'll do it. But you've got to like solve this Mayo Clinic thing for me. And I heard this voice in my head and it said, go back and give notice at Mayo Clinic. Give your 2 weeks notice. And I was like, oh, hell no. Hell to the no. You know, I was just like, I don't have a plan. I'm not going to jump without a parachute. And the thing is that I had already jumped. And I got back. And I think that the universe does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. well, I had already said yes on a deep cellular level, on a soul cellular level, I had said yes. And something in me had really changed as a result of that. And I got back and I had agreed to move forward with this new way of being. And I had already acted upon it. And see, that inspiration is nothing without action. Thought is nothing without movement and momentum. And the momentum is in the yes. And I always say that yes is you evolving spiritually. You know, that yes is the evolution of what we're meant to do. I got back, Vicki, and I got called into the principal's office, as I call it, and I essentially got told that I didn't fit in at Mayo Clinic, which wasn't really news to me, and that I had to dumb it down. And then if I didn't dumb it down, within 30 days, that they were going to let me go. And basically, they had no ground to fire me. Like, technically speaking, they had no ground. But I realized that there was something higher at cause, and I accepted what they were saying as a sign from the universe of, like, the pull of the future is greater than the push of the past. And
oh, I love that.
The pull of my future was pulling me towards something, and the push of my past was saying, you can't hang out here in the comfort zone anymore. You can't. You can't. You already left. And so everything in me said, you made a commitment. Give your 2 weeks notice. You will be taken care of. And against my better judgment, against that piece of me that was like, oh, my God, I have the ideal staff job. I have worked 23 years to get this. There is no way I will ever get anything like this again. People are going to think I'm crazy. Wait, I am crazy. I'm the person that hears voices in my head. What am I doing? I wrote the letter of resignation, and I turned it in. And I said in there, I always say, act as if. Believe that it will happen, and it will. I wrote, thank you so much for all the opportunities you've given me. Something amazing, an opportunity has been presented to me that I can't say no to. I will share it with you when the time is appropriate. I bless you for everything that you supported me in, and you've given me the opportunity to step into this next phase of where I'm going with my life and my career. Thank you. And they were stunned. They were stunned that I was just so peacefully resigning. And they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't tell you, like, the contract isn't signed yet, and I can't disclose it to you.
Wow. So share with us, what are you doing? How did you take all of this that you developed, and what did it make your existence look like now?
Well, I want to really focus on leaps of faith, because I don't want people to see where I am now 2 years later and think, oh, she has it all together and it was easy. Because, as you know, this is the backstory that's so important, because I think that anybody that leads a life of, I'm just going to call it faith, whatever you have faith in, like trusted source, guidance, a guided life, a life of what I'm going to call inspiration, has got to know that it's the most damn circuitous route that you could ever follow, and that you're going to be asked to do crazy things. And that's what I think the soul portrait is. Like, anybody that engages in the soul portrait has to know that it's the same route that it took me to get the soul portrait is the same route that the soul portrait is in and of itself. And so let me just finish this little story, because
absolutely,
it's really interesting. So within that 2 weeks, I sweated every moment. I had people that were just like, what are you doing? Where are you going? People were in tears. They were shocked. They were like, you are the best photographer we've ever had. I was also a fitness and yoga instructor. I had done the only research study that had ever been done at Mayo Clinic on mindfulness training. I had pioneered it, engineered it, conducted it. It's now a published research study with my name on it. And people were shocked. Meanwhile, someone, a very bigwig, a very famous person, had 2 years prior breathed through Mayo Clinic, had some private yoga sessions with me, and came back into town. This is a very, very famous person whose name I cannot disclose. And unbeknownst to me, within this 2 weeks, went to the CEO of Mayo Clinic and said, I'm going through a hard time. This yoga instructor of yours made a big influence on me. I want to hire her away from Mayo Clinic. What would it take for you to give her to me as my personal guru. So I get a call from the CEO of Mayo Clinic, and within 2 weeks, I have a contract with one of the most famous families in the United States to be their private health and wellness coach for more money in 1 month than I made in a year at Mayo Clinic. And within 2 weeks, I'm gone. I'm gone from Mayo Clinic. I've disappeared off the face of the earth, and I'm now making absolutely ridiculous amounts of money. And P.S., part of my job with this person is to integrate my skills as a psychic and a medium and to leave behind my camera. Fast forward 6 months, and I am photographing this person and the Dalai Lama by complete weird happenstance. And that day was the day that I meditated. And during that meditation, I thought, how did this all happen that I'm photographing this famous person, his family, and the Dalai Lama? How did I get here? I don't know. And in that moment, this vision came to me of, this is your next step. You are going to take this vision that you're given when you're photographing people of their soul, and you're going to integrate it with your photography. And that was the moment that the soul portrait was born. And I was like, what? You want me to do what? And it took me 6 months to even talk about it. And the first person I talked about it with was Jeffrey Van Dyke. And Jeffrey immediately said, okay, right, Suzanne Falter Barnes, my new business partner, and I, we're going to fly down to L.A., and you're going to do this new soul portrait process on the two of us. And that was 2 years ago. And that was the humbling, humbling beginning of the soul portrait. It was the moment that I let go of photography, let go of my identity as the photographer, and embraced the thing that I was so afraid of embracing, that this whole new thing was born.
That is an just incredible story, incredible story. And I, for one, am so thankful that this all transpired the way it did to bring you into what you're doing now, because it is so magical and so magnificent, the work that you're doing. It truly is.
It is. It is. And it's not anything that I could have whipped up or dreamed up on my own. And it's not anything that I would have. It's like, it's literally, it's so humbling when I'm doing it, Vicki, because it's just, it's really a result of showing up and checking my ego at the door, because the magic, for lack of better word, that transpires, the transformations that I am bearing witness to in this process they're kind of cosmically ridiculous. And I don't even know if I can necessarily lay claim to the entirety of this process, because I feel like it's a lot of conspiring elements coming together to make it happen. And it's unique every time. That's why when it was given to me, it was called alchemy, because it's really the process of people letting go of their lead mask, their former identity, just like I did, and coming into the gold, the truth of who they really are.
That is so beautiful. So, you know, you're working with people on this unbelievable soulful level. What do you think are necessary things that need to be there for people to really have a fulfilled life, and then for that to show in their portraits that you do?
I think a fulfilled life is a really interesting notion. I'm really playing with that notion in my own life. Like, what does it mean to be fulfilled? And then how do you bring that into the soul portrait? Well, what I want to say first is I know that what we want to be our fulfilled life, what we're told by society, by the programming in our families, by our own wishes and desires for material gain and societal reputation, is not fulfilling. At least it hasn't been for me, i.e. my job at Mayo Clinic. Those things mean nothing on a soul level. It's only when we really get in touch with who we truly are that we become fulfilled. And so what this soul portrait has done for people, and I've done well over 100 of them now in the course of this 2 years, is it has shattered people's illusions of what they thought they were and has instead initiated them into who they really are. And when you get that, when you get that who you really are is beyond the right, as Rumi says, out beyond the fields of right doing and wrong doing, there's a place. I'll meet you there.
Mm.
To me, that's a school portrait. Like, there's a place where we try so hard, I try so hard, to fit in and to gain approval and to look good and to be loved, really. At the core of it, I think the fulfill, in air quotes, is I want to be loved. I want to be enough. And this is what it looks like. Here's my list. And out beyond those notions of what it would take to be enough and to be fulfilled and to be good, there's this place, and that's where this soul portrait has taken me and countless others, that place of just pure being seen for who you are. And it is so touching to be in that place with another being and to just ruminate in that space. It's so precious. I can't even describe it. And people always want to know, like, how do you do it? And, like, what is it? And it's just like, those are such mundane questions. It's like, how can you explain an experience of unconditional love?
And, you know, that's interesting, Sid. Share with us how you do get that message out, that heart and soul core of your message. How do you get that out so people understand what it is?
I think I suck at it. I don't very well. It's something that I've been wrestling with. To be perfectly honest, I think for the first year that the soul portrait existed, maybe year and a half, I was still really wrestling with the burden of it, with the, like, oh my God, this is messing my life up to, like, have this elephant in the middle of my life. Called the soul portrait, because it is a huge responsibility to say that you're going to photograph someone's soul. I mean, people are like, what are you going to do, an aura photo? And it's like, no. You know, so to try to articulate it is, it's like, it's so beyond the physicality of the photo itself. Because what it really is it's a transformational process wherein people experience in that moment themselves as a divine co-creator. Like, that's what your soul is. Your soul is the energy that creates everything. And in this moment, you are tuning in and tapping in and turning on, as Abraham says of Abraham Hicks. You are tuning in, tapping in, and turning on to that place of being. And the resulting photo is just your blueprint of that moment and nothing more. And so to me, like, it's so hard to articulate that. The best I can do is show you a before and after. Like, here's what your normal everyday photo is. This is what you look like when you're doing your best to be fulfilled in your life. This is what you look like when you're trying to do that. Here it is. Here's your before. Here is what you look like when you are in touch, when you are tuned in, tapped in, and turned on. This is what it looks like. That's the best I can do, the before and after pictures. And, you know, the recent Alchemy Lab series where I've interviewed a dozen people where they talk about the experience of having the soul portrait and then their lives after it, like the key pieces of their lives that began to shift and evolve and how it revolutionized the way they saw themselves. That was also my attempt to articulate how it, you know, how it alchemized, how it shifted from lead to gold, their perceptions of themselves. Other than that, I just don't know. I just, either people feel called to do it or they don't. You can't sell people on it.
Mm. Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it's so pure a message that they're either going to be drawn to it or not. It's the essence of the purest message that could be out there. Now, you know, I know that you have really inspired a lot of people with the work you're doing, and you've really gotten the message out because you've done over 100 of these portraits. It just in a short period of time, in addition to the enormous career you have had in photography before that. Tell me a little bit about how really adopting this message, this platform, this place of being has changed your life and the lives of others that you've touched with it.
Oh, for me, I believe that any time we step into our true purpose, our calling, our mission, that it is a request from our higher self to let go, like a snake shedding its skin of everything that we're not. And that's a tall order. I'm not going to lie. Since this revolutionary process came to me 2 years ago, my life has not been comfortable. In fact, it's gotten really uncomfortable. And I think that there's a good argument, probably people listening would listen to this and be like, God, I don't know if that's very inspiring or if I'd want to follow in that path. And I'm not, I don't, this is my preface, is that I don't know that this would be everybody's path. I believe that alchemy is letting go and shedding the layers of what weighs us down, of the things that keep us hidden from our true selves. And that's what I'm going to call the lead. And what is revealed is our goals. We're just asking ourselves to be the gold, to just be ourselves. And what that has meant for me is I had to let go of, like, this image of myself as kind of like the badass LA photographer, or the image of myself as the person that was, you know, I've done all that and I've been there and I'm this confident, you know, cool, put together person. And it's really unraveled me. And I'll give you a really tangible, kind of funny example. I used to wear all black. You know, I was born and raised in New York and went to film school at NYU, and I was kind of like the badass with, like, all black. My whole wardrobe was black. My car was black, black leather interior. My dog was black. And when I started the soul portrait process, I still had this kind of, like, attitude, a batitude about kind of like this was my artist self. You know, and I was so fully embraced in it that it was like a fish in water. You don't even know you're in water because that's just the way you live. And over the past 2 years, I've had to really look at everything that I've held on to as my identity. And I've slowly realized that maybe I'm not that. And I've actually had my soul portrait done twice. And each time, what's been really interesting is that I'll come to it with my own clothes. And I never end up wearing my own clothes because the people that are helping me with my soul portrait are like, no, that's not right. And so both times I've ended up in someone else's clothes, and both times it's been white.
That's so fascinating. So people can really get a sense, everyone listening and reading can get a real sense of the real depth of your experience with this darker side. Can you go into that a little bit more so we can get a real feel of what that looked like for you when you were, because you were saying you continued to tap into it, but what did that really look like? Because, you know, from what we talked about, it sounds like, oh my gosh, you just met all these famous people and were gifted with all this talent and went to these great schools and just moved right through life into this wonderful place that you are now. Tell us a little bit about that darker side.
Yeah, you know, the black for me really symbolized this piece of my life where, oh, I had an eating disorder for 12 years. I was a bulimic. I was a drug addict in New York City. I was homeless for 2 years. I, at one point, spent 2 years off and on a psychiatric ward for my depression and for my addictions. You know, I actually dropped out of NYU Film School, which was my dream, and I fought so hard to get into NYU Film School because of this darkness that just would overtake me and I couldn't function. And so, you know, it took the better part of my 20s and 30s to really focus on spirituality and focus on really radical self-care. And in fact, I had to give up a lot of my dream of being a filmmaker and a videographer. And I had actually settled for photography so that I could really get recovery because I was just destroying myself. I was destroying my body. I was destroying my life. I had several attempts on my life by my own hand, of course. And it wasn't a pretty picture. It was a very, very dark, dark, painful, 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 messy picture for many, many years of struggle. And you know, and I think that that's a side that people don't see, that they think that if they're Facebook friends with me, like the thousands of people that are Facebook friends with me, they see this beautiful, illuminated blonde, and they don't I don't want to argue for the darkness. I don't want to keep going back to it. And I think that in photography, what I really appreciate is that you, if you have all light, then you don't have an image because it's the shadow that defines the light. But if you have all darkness, you don't have an image either. You just have black, you know?
So you have to have both.
You have to embrace, like, we really, 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 we have to embrace both. We have to embrace our shadow side, and we really want to leave space for that beautiful white blank space that is all possibility. But it has taken me 45 years, Vicki, to get to the soul portrait, which is my blank space, which is all possibility.
Wow.
And it was like, holy shnikes, it was 23 years now. I'm 23 years now, by the grace of God, sober and clean, which is a miracle, a complete miracle. We would not have the soul portrait. I would not be alive if I did not have the miracle of being clean and sober and abstinent from my eating disorder as the base of the foundation, really the spiritual foundation of my practice in life. But it is from that brokenness, you know, the crushed up brokenness that the foundation was built.
Oh, that is so powerful. So, Sid, what was the turning point for you? When did you decide that you wanted to really embrace the light and not just the darkness?
Ironically enough, it wasn't really all that long ago. It was about 3 months ago. And, I mean, I know that that sounds like people will be like, oh, my God, I think it's it happens incrementally, kind of like the sun rising. It's been a series of surrenders. It doesn't happen all at once. I want to believe that, one would love to believe that it's kind of like, let me just say it like this. Back to the question about fulfillment. We live in a society of reality TV shows where this reality TV show swoops in and does like an instant makeover of your life, whether it be your house, or, you know, your physicality, and it's kind of like winning the lottery. And we have in our, somehow in our social consciousness, that it's possible in America to win it big, and that through enough effort that we're going to somehow magically be discovered, and that all of a sudden we're going to make it. And that's like the gerbil on the wheel that keeps us going and fighting and struggling. And on the flip side of that, there's a tremendous need on a soul level for surrender, 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 surrender. And so we have this paradox of I want to be found and I want to be discovered and I want the quick fix that makes everything beautiful and amazing and, like, you know, makes me a multimillionaire. And on the other hand, I want to just, like, surrender and give up and turn it all over. And, like, somewhere in the middle, there's this neutral phase of I'm just the gold right now. I'm just okay right now. And we don't get that role model very much. And so for me, I've done the extremes of, you know, being swept away from Mayo Clinic by the famous family and making six figures as a yoga guru. I've made six figures as, you know, this, I'm going to say, infamous photographer. And, you know, now I'm at the opposite end, kind of starting from scratch with this other process. And I'm just taking a deep breath and saying, like, where is my soul in all of it? Where do we come into right relation with what we're really meant to do and just trust that we are the gold that we've been looking for? And that
wow.
Even without all of that quick fix, that the new gold standard is really us just being true to us, and that everything from that place, even if it doesn't look pretty, even if it doesn't look put together, that when we let go of that need for what everybody is preaching in their programs or whatever it is as the way to get there quickly, when we can just surrender that and just be okay with just being us, just being true to us, our essential nature, and trust that our needs are being met, and that when we're on mission and on purpose, that that's the ultimate fulfillment, that's the place I'm going for.
I forgot
what your question was. I'm sorry.
No, that is so beautiful. So tell me, Sid, what truly inspires you?
Seeing people's souls. There is nothing more inspiring than seeing the gold. It's like when I am with people and they drop the mask And in that moment, their true essence is revealed. It's like opening the most beautiful treasure chest. And it's just, it's so awe-inspiring. And I just remember the answer to your former question. I do want to answer it. 3 months ago, I was on a photo video shoot where I was doing a soul experience video, because I've now moved into video. And I'm taking the soul experience of the soul portrait. And we do the soul portrait, and then we do video. So people are now speaking from that place of their soul in video and articulating their mission and their purpose for their businesses on video. So I was doing that. And the person that I was doing it for asked me to sit in front of the camera and be interviewed as a medium and as this medium that I am. And I had never been interviewed as just like me in front of the camera as a medium. And she said, go upstairs and put on that white that you wore for your soul portrait the other day. So I was upstairs, and I had been wearing this like really cool new designer black top that I had gotten from this was in Sydney, Australia. This really cool black designer top that I had, and these really cool skinny black jeans, kind of my badass LA photographer, videographer look. And I started stripping down, and my whole body started shaking. Like, I was shivering. And something in me went, oh, my God, something's about to happen. Something really big is about to happen. And I was dripping off the black, and I was putting on the white. And I realized, like, I no longer resonated with the black, that I had to stop telling the story of who I used to be as, like, the addict. And kind of like if you had breast cancer and then you had like the whole surgery and you recovered from breast cancer, like you wouldn't go around saying, I have breast cancer. You would maybe say, I survived breast cancer, but you wouldn't continue to say, I have breast cancer. This piece of me was like saying to me, you've got to stop saying that you're an addict because you're done with that now. You're like, you're done. Stop saying that you're any of that anymore and just be the light. Be the love. And be the light and be the channel of that and let go of the darkness of the past. Just really let it go. And so I sat in front of the camera and let someone see me and capture me as that white light. And what I realized is like that I hide behind the camera, that like that big black thing that's the camera has hidden me and hidden my light, and that for my entire life I've hidden behind the camera so that I wasn't seen, and it's been my safety mechanism. And these women in Australia said, you're not meant to hide behind the camera anymore. We see you as being a really famous medium and channel that has your own show and sits in front of the camera and answers people's questions and has a really important mission, really beautiful things to tell people, and this is beginning of that. And we hope that someday you'll give up being behind the camera and that you'll step in front of the lens and let people really see you, because that's who you really are. And it was shattering, because I think the other part about fulfillment is the myth of competency, that I hide behind competency. And certainly my ability to see into people's souls is part of my competency. And I do it from behind the camera lens, but I'm perfectly capable of doing it face to face without a camera. And to let myself be seen by another without this object in between us is my evolution. And moreover, to let people see my light unguarded and unprotected by that blackness, by that darkness, that's like a really new concept for me. So it's all, it's all evolving right in front of my very eyes.
Isn't that beautiful that it continues to evolve that way? And thank you so much for sharing such an unbelievably perfect and beautiful and intimate moment with us. Sid, I was wondering, is there something that you do personally, on a daily basis or as a ritual or as an exercise or something you could give as a tip that helps bring people into this golden place that you like to photograph them in? Is there something that we could do that put into action that you could provide for us?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking that, because I do believe that there's two things that I have. There's kind of, there's a little bit of a turbo booster that I have for people that I'd love to offer for free. And then there's a process. So when a rocket is taking off, like when they're trying to launch the spaceship into space, when it's taking off from the landing pad, 90% of the energy goes into the first I think it's 30 seconds of getting it off the launch pad. And then the rest of it, like getting it into space once it's actually off the launch pad, is only 10% of the energy. So I think that in this connection that we're all looking for, in this fulfillment, that 90% of our energy has gone into the searching for what that's going to be. When we actually just find that we are the goals, that all we really needed to do was come home to ourselves and listen to our own soul that's trying to talk to us, the search is over. So on my website, Auray, that's AU-RAY.com, there's a free meditation, and it's the Golden State Alignment Meditation that is really a transmission of me in my golden state, channeling not just words, but a frequency that is that like turbo boost to help people get into their golden state of alignment. I still listen to it on a daily basis, a year later, because there's something in that meditation that like really, I don't know what it is, but it helps all the particles in me align. It's kind of like a tuning fork. It's my true north. It's like a compass that always aligns me with that which I really am. So that's available for free for people.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous.
I feel really led to give that to people. And there's many more meditations to come for free, because I just feel committed to helping people get to that place for themselves. And then I'm going to offer an exercise that I do, and it's soon to be blog posts, although I've recorded many of them, and I will admit to you that I'm a complete scaredy cat in actually posting these on my blog. But I have an iPhone, and what I do is I sit down with my iPhone, and I have just a little tripod, or I prop it up on something, and I turn the camera on myself, and I ask myself a question, and it's kind of like, what is, you know, whatever it is that I am struggling with the most on any given day, and invariably there's some struggle going on, you know, business, personal, whatever, I ask that question, and I'm like, what should I do about, you know, fill in the blank? And then I meditate for 20 minutes, just in silence, and then I turn the camera back on and I answer the question. And I'm usually in an altered state. I'm usually channeling. I don't think it's necessary to be channeling when you are doing this dialogue, but that's what I'm going to be posting to my blog soon, these dialogues, because it's kind of freaky how there's this side of us, and I believe we all have it, I really do, that we are our own guru. And, you know, I'm going to get a T-shirt printed that says, be your own guru. Because guru, the term guru, literally means the person, the being that brings you from the darkness to the light.
That is,
I believe it,
so beautiful.
I believe that that's what we're meant to be for ourselves. The mistake that we have made is we've invested thousands of dollars and lots of hope that someone else will do it for us. And I'm here to say that, at least on my own path, that I've had to learn how to shed the skin of darkness and embrace the light that emanates from inside of me and be my own guru. And this is my practice, is to show up in front of my own little video camera, not fancy, and ask myself the question and realize that I have the answers. And then every night before I go to bed, I watch my own little video, and I realize how ridiculously inspiring and humbling it is that I have the answers for myself. And so that's the practice that I would ask other people to do for themselves.
That is so empowering, and thank you so much for your generosity. Before we leave, Siddiqui, if you could just give your website one more time so people can avail themselves of all of the generosity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's Auray at www.au-ray.com, and AU stands for gold, and Ray is my last name.
Thank you, Sid, so much for being with us today. Time just flew, and I learned so much from spending time with you. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's been my honor. Thank you so much. It's been such a privilege, and I just pray that whoever's been listening, that they are blessed by their own light, and that they honor their own darkness as a necessary part of the process. And blessings to you and all you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And anyone who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, Family of Opportunity, and our publishing and broadcast and communities, you can find us at GetEI.com. That's GetEI.com. And again, Sid, thank you so, so much. And bless you.
Bless you.
To learn more about Wounded, Survive, Thrive, our other bestsellers, and the opportunity for you as a writer to get published now, visit GetEIP.com. That's GetEIP.com. This is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, wishing you a happy and award-winning week. See you next time.